You're listening to the WILS Weekend Kickoff, the best way to start your sports weekend.
But the bottom line is, this is not a habit you want to start.
I don't know, man. I was banging 7 gram rocks and finishing them because that's how I roll. I have one speed. I have one gear. Go.
I wanted him to win.
Winning.
I like MSU.
I mean, what's not to love?
The problem is over the last 2 years, they've been underwhelming. And this year in particular, they've been disappointing, and they haven't played to their potential.
I'm not interested in what people believe. I'm interested in what I believe, and I believe in the truth.
Now, here's Dave Benton.
I'm by winning.
Yeah.
What a PR nightmare that man is. I mean, absolute gold for a producer like you, but what a PR nightmare Charlie Sheen is right now for 2.5 Men, for his agent, for anybody involved with Charlie Sheen. Oh my goodness. Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer. I want to talk a little bit right now about journalism etiquette. Not like my favorite thing about sports. It always has been. Okay, I mean, I love the competition. I love games. I love how exciting it gets. But for me, the ultimate thing that I love about sports is the fact that you can have a conversation with somebody, a calm conversation where you debate facts, and people are always open-minded to your opinion. They're always respectful of your opinion. Okay, one of the reasons I never liked things like politics, religion, things like abortion. Okay, these are things that I can't engage in a conversation with people about because it doesn't matter what I say, what statistical evidence I bring to the conversation, the moron I'm talking to is going to think I'm wrong. And no matter what I say, they're going to think I'm wrong. But in sports, we can be open with each other. Okay, we can share opinions. We are not biased. We have the ability to change our mind on things, and it's respected. Okay, I'll give you an example. When I talked about MSU earlier this year, when they were down in the dumps big time, I was going to open up a segment where I talked about how this team has just not lived up to expectations and blah, 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 blah. But as I started to look into statistics, I realized that maybe the major problem with MSU was that our hype had gotten too much to them. Because when you looked at their season last year, the Final Four really masked a lot of what was happening. So I changed my mind. I didn't get bullheaded. I didn't say, well, I feel this way, so I'm going to do it regardless of what the statistics say. That's what I love about sports. But an article that has come out through Sports Illustrated this week has really sort of dampened my opinion of that magazine and the state of sports journalism in general. Okay? When we start having stubborn journalism, where reporters print stories based on their bias and not on the truth, we've got a major problem. And Sports Illustrated just printed an article this week. I don't know if you read it. It was on CNNSI.com, and I'm pretty sure it's out now on print as well, talking about college football and the idea that coaches are not doing background checks on the players that they are recruiting. Now, I double as a grad student. For those of you who don't know, I'm a grad student at Central Michigan. I read a lot of academic journals that present experiments and research by different people. And as you read these articles, you begin to start to be able to decipher who made arguments, did research, felt a bias towards an argument, and then just tried to slant the statistics that they ended up finding out to their argument, even though it didn't really fit it. And when I read this article, that's the sense that I got, okay? This is a slant. To me, this is writers who 6 months ago said, I bet you if we do an investigative report, we can find out that college football coaches aren't paying attention at all to the background checks of their players, and a whole bunch of players are actually going to jail and have crime records and things of that nature before they go to those schools. And what ended up happening was they ran with the story and figured out through research that it wasn't as clear-cut as that, and that college coaches really weren't doing as bad a job as they thought. And instead of changing their mind, like I talked about I love in sports, they went with their biased opinion and ran the story and just worded things to make all of it sound crazier than it really was. Okay, here's what I'm talking about. Okay, these are the facts of the story. Okay, these are pulled quotes and facts and statistics. I'm not slanting this. I'm pulling this from the article. Okay, they did a 6 month background check. 6 months background checks of all players of the top 25 teams over the last 4 years. So we're talking 2000 2,837 players that were done background checks. Out of those 2,837 players, 9%, so 277 players, were found to have prior records before they came to college. Now, me personally, I don't think 9% is that big of a deal anyway. Okay, I looked at that number and I said, wow, that's it? Oh, okay. And like I said, I'm not upset with the statistics that are in this. It's good investigative reporting. I'm upset with the way that they've worded it and the way that they've slanted this story to make it look more like they wanted to argue. Okay? Of these crimes, of these 277 people, 56 had serious charges. And I say serious charges with quotations. Okay? Because we don't really know the definition of these, okay? You're talking 25 assault and batteries, really. You're telling me 25 high school football players got into fistfights? Shocking. Would never have thought of that. 6 domestic violences. Now, that is concerning, okay? 3 sexual offenses. What are these sexual offenses? Is it rape? Is it a 17-year-old player having sex with his 15-year-old girlfriend? Is it urinating in public? What is it, mooning somebody at a party? I mean, what exactly are we talking about with these 3 sexual offenses? It doesn't tell us. Then you've got 4 robberies, which you know, robberies are black and white, and then aggravated assault, 4 of them. Now, first of all, that's 52 people, not 56, but we'll chalk that up to miscalculations on Sports Illustrated's part. But what is exactly the definition of a serious crime? They never get to it. On top of that, okay, that's only 21% of the 277 players. What were the crimes of the other players? Now, later in the article, it says there were 105 drug and alcohol offenses. Now, what are we talking drug and alcohol offenses? Are we talking DUIs? Are we talking selling? Or are we talking MIPs at a high school party? Now, when I say this stuff, I am not condoning these things. I'm not saying these are good things. But when you word stuff like 105 drug and alcohol offenses, you are accusing these kids of being bad people. And you can be a good kid and get caught up with an MIP or something at a party when you're in high school, especially when you are a gifted athlete. It happens. Okay? Now, it says of those drug and alcohol offenses, it says, quote, including DUI, drug possession, and intent to distribute cocaine. Now, you notice that they had a breakdown of all the different crimes of those 56 people. There is no statistical breakdown whatsoever of how many were in trouble for a DUI and drug selling. For all we know, there were 2 people that got in trouble for that. Once again, I'm not upset with the fact that they've done this statistical work. I'm upset with the way that they've presented it. Okay? Now, by the way, we still haven't gotten to the crimes of the remaining 116 players that they haven't mentioned yet, and we don't get any explanation for them. So what are those other 116 players accused of? Okay? And like I said, 9%, 277 students, and if you really think about it, okay, I guarantee you, nationwide, without doing any research, I bet you probably between 4 and 5% of all people in college probably have some sort of criminal record that they were able to get past and get onto college campuses, given a second chance. So is it really that far-fetched to think that when you talk privileged athletes, okay, that are constantly given whatever they want and are not given consequences, is it really that hard to think that there's a 4 or 5% upswing when you factor that stuff in? And to me, the worst part of this article, okay, in my opinion, it's not the way that they've done this. It's the fact that they've given out these stats. They've given these 277 players before they've gone to college and said that coaches weren't doing background checks and blah, 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 blah. There is not one word in this article, and I've read it 2 or 3 times, of what happened to these kids after they joined the universities. It says that they had a rap sheet before they went to the universities, but it has nothing about what they've done now that they are at college. Perhaps they've grown up. Perhaps they've become model citizens. We don't know, because Sports Illustrated decided that that wasn't helpful to their argument, so they decided to not put that part of it into the article. All they do is they use 8 stories of individuals who have had relapses. Okay, what about the other 269 students? What about those people? What have they done since they've gone to college? And for me, if you are not providing both sides of the story, that tells me that you didn't have enough evidence to show that this was really an issue. This smells of an article that didn't go as well as the writers thought it was going to go when they first started investing time into it. And now they've decided, you know what? Maybe we'll just run with it anyway. Here's another great quote. Of the 25 schools, okay, this is a quote, only Virginia Tech did any type of background checks on admitted students. So we're talking about background checks on students who are already at the universities. That's what college applications are for, okay? That's what the admissions committees is for, is to do the background checks on these students. And if it turns out that they do have a crime rap sheet, they get questioned about it. Have you filled out a college application lately? Okay, because I can tell you that they ask you right on that front page whether you've caused any, whether you've committed any crimes or anything. So all of this stuff has just been slanted to a point where it makes it look like coaches are just going on Arrivals.com and going, boy, that guy looks fast. Let's just go ahead and recruit him. I highly doubt Mark D'Antonio doesn't know what's going on with the players that he's bringing in, with the recruits that he's bringing in, and I highly doubt any other coach is doing that either. The responsibilities of journalists has gone out the window, and everyone seems to just be searching for a way to make breaking news. And they've forgotten what they're supposed to be doing. SI did a great job with this evidence. They did. It was great investigative reporting. The problem was that for some reason, they ignored the story that they actually had in front of them. The story they had in front of them was college coaches are being pretty responsible. College kids are only getting on campus for the most part and playing college football if they don't have a rap sheet. And those that do are fixing the problem, are becoming model student athletes. Okay, that's the real story. But they looked at that and they said, we can't put that on the front page. We've just invested 6 months into this, and all we have is that it's really not big of a deal. So what did they do? They looked at you, the reader, and they said, well, maybe if we word it differently, people would be dumb enough to not realize this, and then they'll read it and they think it's true. Okay, they've underestimated the reader. They have a responsibility to tell the truth. Okay, this is the blogger's age, but they still tell the truth. Bloggers tell the truth. Okay, journalists have missed the mark of what bloggers do. They still check sources. Okay, they still report. It's just a faster way of doing it because they don't have to go through an editor or anything like that. Yet journalists think that they need to slant stuff. They need to stay relevant by making stuff sound bigger than it really is. And this story is not a big deal. In fact, it's a pretty big non-factor. Okay, if only 277 college athletes of the 2,800 plus college athletes have any sort of rap sheet, to me, that's not a big deal. Okay? So, when you read that article, be sure that you read it with some perspective and read the way that they word things, because I'd hate for you to get the wrong idea of how college football has been going. When we come back, we'll talk more about this, and we're also going to talk a little bit about what happened at BYU with the honor code. It's up next, Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.